2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Now, where I actually want to stop today is rather long, and the reason is because I want to take a segment at a time, the thing that Paul was trying to explain. And as a result of what he says, that each... Now, Paul, like I explained before, Paul used a lot of words to explain the things that he's trying to say. And so after looking through it, it appeared to me like we can only break this one somewhere around the end of chapter 3 or a few verses into chapter 4. But then, I don't know how whether we can read that length before we pass our comments. Let me just read a few and I'll try and explain what he's saying. All right? From verse 12, he says, "For our proud confidence is this, that this is the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially toward you." Now, I'll pass a comment on what they call fleshly wisdom and what they call the grace of God. He said, "We have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially towards you." That is the manner by which we operated in our ministry. And what you will see, what he's beginning to explain, and let me just give you a summary of it. Paul wants to explain the method by which he performs his ministry. That's the summary of everything he's saying. We'll get to where we are going to break around that verse towards the end of chapter 3. Okay? In fact, into chapter 4. All right? But we'll probably stop around the end of chapter 3. What he tried to explain in everything, there was a method by which he conducted ministry. And the reason why we are gathered like this is to learn these things. It's not just to have a knowledge, a head knowledge of the Bible, but to learn exactly what the Lord wants us to learn. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." That is, the way by which we take the yoke of Jesus Christ is by learning of him. Is that okay? So we'll see the method by which Paul operated here. And let me just give you a summary. I studied ahead of time. The summary of it is that of sincerity and allowing the power of God to do things on his behalf. That's the summary of everything we're going to see from this context. Now, so Paul was saying that you have understood, I'm going to see in verse 12, that we operated not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God. And in this manner, we conducted ourselves in the world, and especially towards you. In verse 13, it says, "For we write nothing else to you than what you read and understand, and I hope you will understand until the end." That is, now let me read from Amplified here. It says, "For we write nothing else but simply what you can read and understand. That is, there is no double meaning to what we say. And I hope that you will become thoroughly acquainted with divine things and know and understand them accurately and well to the end." The emphasis there is the fact that if I say something, I mean exactly what I am saying. There's no other meaning beneath it. Do you understand? And there's a reason why I was explaining this to them. Because, you know, he wanted to come to them, like he said, but he ended up not coming. And he appeared like the man who threatened, make them behave, and then, you know, like you issue a threat, like the American would say, you know, it's actually like a bluff. You're not planning to do what you say you will do, but you tell them you will do it because you think that will make them perform in a particular way. And it appeared as if that was what Paul did to them in a particular instance. And he was explaining that that's not exactly what happened. He said, "Anything you see me writing to you, I mean exactly what I have said." Verse 14 says, "Now, in answer, just as you also partially did understand us, that we are your reason to be proud, as you also are ours in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this confidence, I intended..." Now, listen to this. He said, "In this confidence, I intended at first to come to you, that you might twice receive a blessing. That is, on my way, all right, to Macedonia, and then again on my way back from Macedonia." That's verse 16, I'm paraphrasing now. "All right, to come to you, and by you be helped on my way to Judea. Therefore, I was not vacillating when I intended to do this, was I? Or that which I propose, do I propose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no at the same time?" All right, that's what he was saying. He said that when I say something, I'm going to do it, I end up not doing it. Now, listen to this. Paul said, no, that's not true. If I say I want to do something, I intend to do what I want to do. He said, "But as God is faithful, that is, I'm a meditator of God, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us," me, Silvanus, Timothy, "was not yes and no, but is yes in him." What he's saying is that is our example. And the way Jesus used to do things is to state it categorically. All right? That's the kind of person he is. That is, anything God says in Christ Jesus, it is confirmed. It doesn't say something and mean another thing. Look, I explained when we started this series from the book of Romans, that Paul used a lot of words, all right?
That's just the way he writes. He says many things to make out one particular point so that you don't miss exactly what he's trying to say. All right? So please, just bear this in mind. All Paul was trying to say in all of these things that, look, whatever I say, I mean. When I said I wanted to come, I actually wanted to come. I wasn't bluffing. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Now, if you continue reading that, okay, let me just jump because of time. In verse 23, he says, "But I call God as witness to my soul that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth. But that, not that we lord it over your faith, but our workers with you for your joy, for in your faith you are standing firm." Now, and what was it? The background to this, if you read the 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the background to this was that there was a man, can you remember the story? The man who took his father's wife and was living with his father's wife. Can you remember? All right. Now, he has said that they should judge that man. His words were very strong. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Now, his words were very strong, and he appeared like he was being quite harsh. And that's what he was saying. Later on, we'll read it. I don't know whether I'll point it out exactly, but it's in just the next section. He said, "That was why I wrote the letter to you the way I wrote, that it was because I wanted to correct you. I wanted to see whether you will obey me exactly." Now, having said that, he now did not show up again. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Uh-huh. Now, the point here is that he was now saying that I refused to come because I did not want to make you sorrowful further still. Do you get what I'm saying? That I wanted my visit to you to be one of encouragement. And that was the reason why he said he rather wrote a letter to them first, and then he came afterwards when they had corrected themselves. Okay, so let me just summarize that verse 4. "So out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be made sorrowful, but that you might know the love which I have especially for you." Now, then next thing he now did was to now encourage them to restore the person who sinned and caused this whole problem. In verse 10, he encouraged them to forgive the person, all right, saying that if they forgive the person, he also will have forgiven the person. And in verse 11, the reason why he says so important is that they should do that Satan does not take any advantage of the church, of the people, for he said we are not ignorant of his schemes. Now, what he's saying essentially is that unforgiveness and division in the body of Christ is a major way by which Satan takes advantage of the people. Now, let me just pause here for a second, then I'll continue reading. Now, up to this point, like I said, we have seen that what he was trying to explain is the fact that he's not somebody who just plays left and right at the same time, all right? That he has a purpose in mind. And what I want to explain is especially, it will apply to every aspect of life, but maybe because this is my own passion, it applies mostly to those who do ministry, okay? Now, as we read further on, I will emphasize it. In fact, the whole thing is in one context. I just don't want to bore us by too much reading before I start passing the comment. You will see the emphasis Paul was now bringing up, all right, as we go further down, is that he doesn't do these things. He says something we read at the beginning, that the way I operate, all right, and I'm sure of that, this is how me and my people, do we operate. We don't operate through fleshly wisdom, all right, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially towards you. This is the point he's making. Now, please bear this in mind. Paul was a minister, and he was explaining that, one, what I depend on for ministrations, for my ministry, is the power of God. That's what he meant when he said that in the grace of God, I have conducted myself, all right, or we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially towards you. He said, this is our testimony. That is, we have this testimony, this confidence of our conscience that in holiness and godly sincerity, those are two words I'm trying to bring up from all these things. Those are the key words up to this point that we have read. Holiness, godly sincerity, and one more word, please. One more phrase, the grace of God. Now, this, I'm trying to bring out something, because we have to learn lessons from all these things. Let me say something again about the grace of God. I have, by now, I'm sure I have more than 50 definitions for the word, the grace of God. The grace of God is when God's power does work for you, all right? This is a new one. I wish somebody would help me compile all my definitions for grace of God. The grace of God is when God's power does work for you while you are walking in godly sincerity. What do I mean by godly sincerity? I said that this will apply mostly to preachers because my own passion is towards ministry, okay? But actually, it's in every aspect of life. Many years ago, I watched something on TV. There's this program they used to do those days on TV. I think it was in Lagos. I used to watch it called Small Business Today, something like that, Small Business. And then the people, they try to encourage small business. That's the summary of the program. So they show you examples of stuff and different things. And there was a man who built a company. And the name of his company was Integrity Marketing, advertising company. And what is it that he does? You know, a lot of people who want to advertise goods, you know what they do? Now, let me say something. It's a motive that's most important than anything you're trying to do. Okay? And that's actually what dictates how you make decisions, how you react to things. People who just want to sell, like this, the aim of marketing is to what? Sell. Then they will do anything to make you sell, make something sell, including tell lies about it. Do you follow the point I'm making? Around in Nigeria, at least, I've seen that one in market in Enugu here. They will say, na business. Do you get what I'm trying to say? All right? That is, once you bring the money, then the thing has succeeded. In mafia, they will tell you, we're just doing business. That is, a man will shoot another man. And he'll tell his brother not to take it personal. That is, at least. And then, funny enough about the mafia, they actually understand. What I'm trying to explain is that the reason is because they worship money. Now, please. Now, so that man, and that's I'm talking about integrity marketing. So people try to sell things for, you know, two different methods. They use mago-mago, very common abroad. They put things in fine print. You know why they put it in fine print? Hoping you won't read it. You sign the contract, it's binding. I mean, they'll give you a contract of like 5 pages. Hoping that before you get to the end, you are already tired of reading. And the phrases that bind you, they hide the thing in a place where hopefully you won't read it. Now, I'm bringing out an issue. Now, I'm telling you all of this story to bring out what Paul was trying to say. When people try, you know, that man in integrity marketing, let me not forget him. You know his own marketing thing he brought up? He started doing marketing with truth. That is, the idea is not to get your money. The idea is to sell something to you. And we shouldn't make you buy what you don't need. And what won't help you? Do you get my point? And that's why some people, real businesses, started with things like 30-day money-back guarantee. That is, take it, use it. If at the end of 30 days you don't like it, bring it back. We will give you your money back. No questions asked. Why? Because we are sure of what we produced. I was reading one book that my wife has, 1001 Ways to Make Your Customers Keep Coming Back. There are people that give a lifetime warranty that any time in the lifetime of this product you find it defective, bring it back. We'll give your money back. Why? Because they are so sure of what they are selling. Are you getting the point I'm making? All right? Now, the logic behind this is that, look, if you are convinced of what you are selling and you know the person needs it, he will pay you money for it. But then, of course, what some people now do? 30 days money back guarantee. They will now put in fine print if package is not broken. How will you use it if you didn't open the package? Are you a fool? How will you open the thing if you did not open the package? And they put the money back warranty, that's if package is not broken, in such a fine print that the day they show it to you, you look like, are you serious? This was there. Now, again, we're back to it. Their own motive is wrong. They're not trying to sell you something that's good for you. They are trying to get money out of you. Now, listen to it. That was what Paul meant when he said, where were we, verse 12? He said, for our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom. I told you that one of the key words, what? Fleshly wisdom. He said, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God we have conducted ourselves. You know, you've heard me share this testimony, illustration before. That as a single man, I never believed in pursuing a woman to marry me. No, ask my wife. It was not my object. That is, I wouldn't buy you, and men, listen to it. Don't buy something for a woman that you can't afford. You are a crazy man if you do that. I'm not saying you should be stingy. What you can afford, you now refuse to buy. So Pastor Frank said, I should do exactly myself. I didn't say that. Do you follow what I'm trying to say?
Yes, sir.
If you are going to visit a young lady for the first time, you don't need to borrow shoe. Are you mad? I'm not doing it for people. Why should you borrow shoe? In fact, you should go and use salubata, the one you did not wear before. You know, your shoe will not bend, as long as it's still your own. May you see the kind of human being where you be. See you in your worst state so that you can only get better. Not the hyper-polished, deceptive one you want to make yourself look like what you are not. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, what Paul was explaining, in sincerity, he said, godly sincerity and holiness. Holiness refers to purpose. That's what holiness is. We are trying to do the will of God. We are consecrated to promoting godliness in your life. That's what we are trying to do. And when he talked about fleshly wisdom is when people, like we're talking about marketing, all right? You want to sell something to somebody, not because it will bless him, but because you want his money. That's it. What is wisdom? You are using your knowledge to get results. That's what wisdom is. This is satanic wisdom, all right? It's fleshly wisdom. Now, I told you something earlier that maybe for me as a person, it actually offends me most when I see that in ministry. Sometimes fleshly wisdom appears to be of good intention. It's still fleshly wisdom. Do you follow what I'm going to say? I told you before that if I come, maybe I notice that people here like coming late for Bible study. Now let's assume now that I want to handle such a matter. I now bring out my Bible. Praise God. When we get to heaven, at the marriage supper, when the saints are gathered, at the last assembly, do you know there are people that will be late on that day? I start preaching the Bible. Do you know? Oh, tell your neighbor I will not be late. Tell your neighbor I will not be late. Some will be so late they will find themselves in hellfire. Listen, it's craftiness. You know the way you should do it? Say it simply. All those of you late comers, what you are doing is bad. Good disciplined people don't come late. Say it to their faces. That's how it is. I'm going behind. You know what I'm saying? You know the commonest one in churches today? I have come to you today as I was praying this morning and I asked the Lord, what should I say to his people? And he said, my people need breakthrough. And I have brought a word to you today. It's meant for your breakthrough. A seed in your hand is a key to your breakthrough. And I came today with a heavy anointing. Bring the seed right now. Listen, let me tell you something. You know how to do this thing. I have watched it plenty. I have seen it. I have seen people go to tell lies because they want to collect money. And woe betide you if you have plenty bank in the congregation. You will be frustration is all you will meet that day. God said I should tell you to get up. I will sit down, use chain to tie my hands to the seat. I ain't getting up nowhere. I have seen plenty. Listen. Look, the fact is that if you want people to give money, tell them squarely. Do you get what I'm saying? The man who says for my breakthrough, listen, let me tell you something about those kind of messages. The man copied from somebody who was telling the truth. I don't know whether I get my point. Elijah told the truth when he got to the house of the widow of Zarephath. He wasn't lying. Then people saw that Elijah got a meal. There, some sons of the prophets without going to other places. Madam, please, can I get water to drink? And the woman said, are they come? He said, as you go, please bring me a loaf of bread in thy hand. And the woman said, everything Elijah said is what they are repeating in their hearts. For thus says the Lord didn't say anything. Bring that food, bring your robe, and the last coin you have on that table, bring it also. You will never be poor again. Listen. Did Elijah lie? No. Is this one lie? Yes. Are they said the same thing? Yes. That was what Paul was saying when he talked about what? Godly sincerity. If I want to rebuke you, I rebuke you to your face. That anything I write, Paul was saying, I mean exactly what I'm saying. There's nothing else apart from that. If I say I'm telling you this for your breakthrough, I really mean it's for your breakthrough. Do you get what I'm saying? I said something that there are people who are actually saying it purely for your breakthrough. They are not lying about it. And possibly God... Look, let me tell you a story. I wrote it in one of my books. Archbishop Benson Dawsa, one day, he was in church. And I believe he was one man that a lot of the things he did about money, it was purely for people's breakthrough. I believe that. Especially because before him, nobody was doing it. It was not in vogue. When something enters into vogue, then you now start seeing all kinds of corruption, all right? Now, the man believed in prosperity. If you love yourself and love the gospel of Christ, you should believe in prosperity. Is that okay? Now, one day a man came up to him and said that, I heard somebody tell this story, that for maybe like 2 years or 4 years or so, a number of years, I don't know exactly for sure how long now, that he had been saving money to buy a car. I asked him, where is the money? The man told him where it was. He said, go and bring it. Go and put it in the offering basket. The man put the money in an offering basket and left. Within 2 or 3 months, he had enough money to buy a car. No, what I'm telling you is it's not a joke. He was just talking to the Archbishop and said that, for years he's been saving up money to buy a car. Archbishop, you've been saving money for years to buy what? A car. Where's the money? Go and bring it. The guy brought the money, said, go and put in the offering basket. The man tossed in the offering basket and left. I'm not sure he prayed for him. Just told him, I dropped him in the offering and go away. And after a few months, the man had enough money to buy a car. I wrote in that my book, Grace to Prosper. I was trying to bring out a principle. The point was that, did the man sow a seed to get his car? No. God just freed him from depending on flesh. After that, it was like, once he dropped that money, what he was saying is that, God, if you don't bless me, I'm a dead man. He said, fine. Hey! Why did it take you so long to arrive at this point? Then some people hear the story. Now, this is where the wrong things come up. Praise God. Have you been saving money to buy a shirt? Go and bring the money. What have you been saving to buy? Go and bring the money. That is, and look, if it's pure revelation, do you understand? Because one thing Jesus used to do, all right? Jesus, if it was Jesus, you know what he would have done? Take that money, go and give to the poor. That's what he used to do. Now, a lot of people now corrupt that now, and maybe if I need money, I come, want to do this, I need plenty of money, and I come and preach a message as if I'm trying to help you. I claim I'm trying to help you. In actual fact, I'm not trying to help you. There's another motivation behind me, or behind what I'm saying. And that is what is insincerity. That's ungodly. Do you get my point? And that's what exactly Paul was saying here. Listen, no matter how good your motives appear on the surface, say, after all, the money is for the church of God. Look, you have. If that is the case, say it straight. Do you get what I'm saying? No, it's important. Now, I've talked about ministry, just as an example. When it comes to businesses, the same thing applies. Do you get what I'm saying? The same thing applies. I said there's another keyword I must explain in that context, and that's the word grace of God. Let me tell you what grace is again. I said it's a progress and success and prosperity that God gives you as you operate with holiness and godly sincerity. I told my wife, you can bear witness to it. I said, and you've heard me preach it. I will never try to persuade you or anybody to marry me. No, I won't do that. You know, my job is to show you what really I am like. Then it's your assignment to decide whether you like it. I won't change church because of you. Somebody was telling me today that one lady attends Christ Embassy. One brother from Household of God wanted to marry her. And he said that, she said that, he agreed to come to Christ Embassy. The lady said she told her friend, come, if your brother wants to get married, and he tells you that this lady said, I have to start going to her church, what advice will you give him? Look, me, I won't change church because of you. Now, if I change church because of truth, it's a different matter. Do you get my point? But because, if I change church, that girlie go like me. You have failed before you started. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're a failure of a man. You haven't started, and you're already failing. I'm not saying you shouldn't take correction. If they say, if you find out you are going to a dead church, and you have to go to a living church, don't say, Pastor Bani say, don't move. Let her come and marry into your dead church. You only marry a dead woman into a dead church. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that if I find out truth, and I make my decisions based on truth, it's a different matter. Do you follow what I'm saying? Is this the kind of car you drive? You are not even happy I have one. Last year I didn't have. Your mates are driving brand new cars. Go and marry them. There's no worry about it. Go and marry them. This guy that wants to marry you, he drives a constantly renewed Lexus. Two legs is S, you know what I mean? And when it's working properly, it's Lexus. You understand what I'm saying? That's it. This is my Lexus. If you don't like it, forget it. It doesn't mean I'll never buy a Lexus made in by Toyota in Japan. I will. But for now, my flesh is constantly renewed as I use the food to walk around. So you just have to enjoy that. If you don't like it, forget it. I won't pretend. Do you know, I've seen, there's one goat I met once in this town. I don't know the kind of human being that fellow is. He has a goat. Amen? Amen. He married a girl. On the day of his wedding, the joker was a medical student. The girl thought he was a medical doctor. And he had his classmates come and pose as if they were consultants. I said, who is the fool that even believed all of them? I'm telling you. And he was getting married, though. I don't mean that he's chasing a girl. He was getting married. Now, are you getting what I'm saying? This is be like fairy tale, Abby. It happened. I know the guy. The guy. He used to come to my office a few times. And you know the interesting part? Oh, God. The day God will judge some people there, I won't even beg for mercy for them. Some people, they like to go to church. I don't know why. Bless you, sir. Brother, God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. This guy was supposed to be a Christian. Listen, the result you get with lying is the opposite of the grace of God. The disgrace of Satan. Are you getting my point? It's disgrace that is waiting. The result you get with lying. Really. And that's what Paul was explaining here. Oh, God. If we keep on reading, I said we're supposed to get to a particular point. This is summary of everything. You see Paul trying to explain to the people that, look, this is how we do things. It's not that we are sufficient, not by ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Are you getting my point? He said, who has made us adequate as ministers of the new covenant? You know what that means? I just speak the truth simply. Let me give you an example. You know, it was those days I thought that you needed, when I was a younger Christian, you needed to close your eyes and squint hard and speak a big, maybe one long sentence in other tongues and then one hard one groaning before you pray for somebody who is sick. As an example, if you are preaching maybe on radio, on TV, say, I want to pray for you if you are out there and you are sick. Stretch your hand towards the TV or the radio. Let me pray. Look, if you want to shake your hand like this, let it as you like it. Does it increase the potency of the power? Do you get my point? All you do simply is, Father, as many as have stretched forth their hands to receive his name from you, today I pray as your servant. Touch them with your power now. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus heals you all. Amen. And then you close your broadcast and you go home. Listen, if 100 people get healed, what have you done? I don't know whether you're getting what I'm trying to say. You have not done anything personally. All you have done is to pray simply. That's what Paul meant when he talked about being adequate as ministers. That is not of ourselves. I pray simply. Somebody else could have repeated that. Do you get my point? He may not get the kind of results you got. Alright? The reason is simple. God has not given him the grace. That's what I'm talking about, the word grace. Grace is when you get results without any fleshly wisdom. Let me add it to it. No fleshly wisdom. Just simple sincerity. Listen, if you're a businessman, and this is as a Christian generally, the greatest, you know, you heard me say it before. One of the greatest things you can do for yourself is to walk in sincerity. No lying. Tell yourself the truth. Tell yourself the truth. If you can't do something, maybe a workman. If you can't do it, say simply to the person, I can't do it. I hope what I'm saying is making sense. You see, the truth is that you will prosper faster and more, generally speaking, at the end of the day, in life, if you operate that principle. One of the things I said that God helped me with those days, and I still practice it today, is that I don't know how to deceive myself. I hope I don't, because if you deceive yourself, you won't even know you're deceiving yourself. But I try not to anyway. You can't be so sure you're not deceiving yourself, because you won't know if you're already deceived, you're deceived, so you won't know you're deceived. But I try my best. You know, like, you know, I'm the kind of person that maybe you go to a restaurant for the first time and see them line up a spoon and fork, you know, those kind of things. You say, which one are you supposed to use first? I don't try. I will tell the person, say, oh boy, you don't come here before. He say, I bet which spoon they're supposed to use? And they say, that one, to eat this thing, no, I don't agree. And that's me for you. I don't agree. I will carry the spoon I like. You see, there's nothing you can do to me. That's my principle. There is nothing. I remember first time I went for, you know, a proper dinner in my life, I was in school. They now carried me, put me on the high table. They can't serve pepper soup first. I didn't even know when we were supposed to start eating it. So, you know, the style, you're always, after some time, I look at the guys from my side, saw what they were doing. When the main food came, you know, chicken inside everything, I was still trying my best to use knife to dissect. And one guy, I still remember his name, Marcel, one young guy like on campus. He dressed funny that day. When the chicken landed, the guy just dig his hand inside. I loved him, my God. Just from from that time to tomorrow, I have not forgotten. Since then, I'm not saying though. And as I have said, in this life, I must be important. Everything I do must be admirable. Not because the thing is fine, but because I'm admirable. I'm telling you the truth. Listen, the day I wear green jacket, yellow shirt, and purple trousers to come and preach, just wait. After a few days, you see boys on campus doing it. They won't say, that man doesn't know how to dress. They say, man, when I enter the place, see his green jacket. Kabash! The yellow was radiant like the sun. The reason is because it's an important man that wore it. Why will Michael Jackson wear trousers that will not reach ground? Is it not because it's Michael Jackson? So a man will just come one day, make your suit tight. You buy some shirts, they put fitted. You know those kind of shirts? You know how they be? And like this. They go hold you like this. So usually when I have to wear them, I wear a step higher. And I know I'm not in trouble. Because what is it? Isn't going to hug you for armpit? You know, I'm serious. So that's why fashion, they keep changing the thing. So I told myself, why follow people? And become one yourself. So I do my things the way I like it. You are getting the point I'm making? Yes. That's it though. I just do my things the way I like it. No, really. What was I even trying to say? I made up my mind. This summary is that in life, I made up my mind I will be important. I'm explaining a principle anyway, talking about sincerity. I don't try to cut any image for somebody that it is not me. Do you follow the point I'm making? No. I show myself, you know, the way I'm supposed to be. If you like it, you come on board. And I'm explaining a principle here. That's how life is. When God blesses you despite what looks like your own shortcomings, then we're talking about grace. Do you get my point? And that definition of grace. When God blesses you despite your own shortcomings, then you're talking about grace. A man tried to explain how you suspend the audience when you are preaching and then shock them with the truth. I said, I don't want to learn it. If I'm persuaded about something and my hands have handled it, then I will declare it and that's the truth. People will now be blessed because of the sincerity concerning what I'm going to say. Are you getting what I'm going to say? No, that's the way it works. And I'm explaining that that's one thing as a believer you must learn. I'm spending so much time on it because that's exactly what Paul was trying to explain here. Now, we don't play tricks with people. Do you follow my point? No, we don't. It's not necessary. I've talked about ministry. It's not necessary. In life also, it's not necessary. Let me tell you, sometimes people maybe they leave school. The guy is 29. By the time he finishes youth service, he's 31. He now feels that no bank will employ me. So he go and swear declaration of age. Like a Nigerian footballer. People say Nigerians don't do well in adult soccer. It's a curse we cannot deliver ourselves from. Let me tell you the truth. It's a spiritual law. Failure. Look. You know what happens? That we have used all our success in golden eaglets. Men who are supposed to be playing super eagles, they are eaglets. You don't get what I'm saying. when a European tells somebody is 22, the guy is 22. When they tell you a footballer is 19, believe them. That's why the guy will play football in the international circle for the next 12 years. But when they tell you, oh, this Nigerian superstar, the guy is only 23. Baba has grandchildren. You will see a man who played for Julius Berger. before he moved to Morocco. Finally, he crossed over to, is it Spain or Italy? Then the day he appears, he's only 19 years old. Then you remember that this guy's son is in secondary school. And the white people, they don't know better now. You know, when you see a black face, you don't know. Is it an old black face or a young black face? That is why they will sign him up today for $2 million. After 3 years, they don't bench the guy. No, really, that's a Nigerian problem. Because that's why internationally they don't understand why. We do so well under 17. We win golds, you know, World Cup twice under 17. Under 21, we hit finals. Then once you pass that level, once it is not age regulated, we can't do well again. The reason is simple. Insincerity. So God has capped us, believe me, is a prophetic problem. We have been capped to succeed only under, and one day, wait. It won't last long. You know, people are growing, the world is advancing. One day somebody will go and pull your certificate with which you started primary school. And see the guy, see him here. And he said, that's primary school. That was 32 years ago. Anyway, so people do it, you know. They go, they leave school, finish service. The banks said, okay, they want people who are between the ages of maybe like 24 and 28 as an example. The guy said, I'm outside the bracket, and this is where work is. His course is age. Listen, as a believer, you shouldn't do that. See, your progress and prosperity is not in the hands of anybody. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, there are things that in times past happened. You get what I'm saying? Oh, you know, it's just general darkness. But light is coming now, all right? And it's not necessary. This is how old I am. If you don't like it, forget it. Now you lose. I'm a blessing to your establishment. Believe me, I'm a blessing to your establishment. Listen, when you lose things because of holy sincerity like this, eventually, God will raise you up beyond the level of those who told lies to get those things. Listen to me. Go and read my tract. In fact, read that little book, The Righteousness of God. That is the meaning of the word righteousness. God has the responsibility to do it. Listen, God has the responsibility to lift you up higher than those who were dealing unrighteously. God has the responsibility to take you that with sincerity, all right? Operating sincere, you lost a few things. He will put you up higher above those who got those things with insincerity. You know, I've been saying it again and again. The power of Christianity, the mark of Christianity is resurrection from the dead. That is what marks out Christianity. Ability to bring life out of death. Listen, God will do something for you one day. You walk back to the same office. Say, I applied for work here 10 years ago. They said I was 2 years too old. Now, wow, I just bought the company last week. No, really. There are things you will change. Let me explain this. There are things you will change when you get into certain positions because they did not serve you rightly. Do you get my point? At certain times in the past. You will know how you suffered when they denied you this because of a law that doesn't seem to make sense. Do you follow the point I'm making? And then under your own authority, that thing will be changed for the better. And God needs it. God needs it. He needs people like that who walks in sincerity into greatness so that through their hands, all right, he will ensure that those, you know, because that's one of the problems God has. God says that the Bible says, as I said like this, it said those who turned away from evil made themselves a prey and the Lord saw it and it displeased him. That is, there was a situation in which anybody who does right is the one that suffers. And the Bible said the Lord saw it and it displeased him. All right? And it needs people like you and I to correct that thing. So that it will be that under our own reign, those who do right are the ones that will be rewarded. Do you get the point I'm going to make? Have I explained that principle so far? All right, so let's continue reading. Let's see how far we can go.